All right, good morning. Woo.
Hey, that's something. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 7. I'm going to start in Matthew. Isaiah chapter 7, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me. But Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. And so her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "See, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which translated is "God with us." And when Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her. Matthew's beautiful description of the birth of Jesus, and in it, Matthew is very concerned that the Jews that were reading the gospel would understand the prophetic fulfillment of the birth of Jesus. And so he quotes Isaiah chapter 7 there, that this child would be born and they would call him Emmanuel. Matthew translates it for us. It means God with us, God near us, close to us, alongside us, a companion of us, in support of us. Last week we talked about how he is Emmanuel. He is God with us, even in the faraway places. And we discussed together that whenever we feel like we're far from the Lord or there's a distance between us and the Lord, it's not his doing, it's ours. God has repeatedly chosen to draw near us. We repeatedly choose to move away from him, but he always comes after us. He's God with us in the faraway places. Today I want to share with you that he's Emmanuel. He's God with us in the dark and dangerous places. So I want to read in Isaiah chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Isaiah writes, This took place during the reign of Ahaz, son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah. Aram's king Rezin and Israel's king Pekah, son of Remaliah, went to fight against Jerusalem, but they were not able to conquer it. And when it became known to the house of David that Aram occupied Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the hearts of the people trembled like trees of a forest shaking in the wind. And the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out with your son Shear Jashub, and meet Ahaz at the end of the conduit of the upper pool by the road to the launderer's field. And say to him, 'Calm down and be quiet. Don't be afraid or cowardly because of these two smoldering sticks, the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, the son of Remaliah. For Aram, along with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah, have plotted harm against you. They say, "Let us go up against Judah and terrorize it and conquer it for ourselves. And then we can install Tabeel's son as king in it." This is what the Lord says: it will not happen, it will not occur. The chief city of Aram is Damascus, the chief of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The chief city of Ephraim is Samaria, and the chief of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. And then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, "Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. It can be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz replied, "I will not ask. I will not test the Lord." Isaiah said, "Listen, house of David, is it not enough for you to try the patience of men? Will you also try the patience of my God? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel." All right, so there's a lot of stuff there. kind of a funky passage. I don't know if you could follow it or not, but I'm going to kind of give you a little background to what's going on here. So the year is 721, 724 BC. There's a terrible civil war in Israel. The nation has been split in two. Now there's these two competing nations left, the northern kingdom, which is now called Samaria, and the southern kingdom, which is Judah. And Samaria and Damascus are conspiring together to join forces to attack Judah, to attack the southern nation of Judah. And the people, when they heard about it, they were shaking like trees in the wind. King Ahaz, the king of Judah, he's in his 12th year as king. He's in his early 30s. He doesn't have many options. Judah's not a strong nation. They could probably take on Syria and do okay. They could Samaria and do okay. They, with any luck, he could defeat Damascus. But now you've got Samaria and Damascus joining their own alliance. And there's no way he has a chance against both of them. And so Ahaz is out shopping for his own alliance. He's talking to people like Egypt. He's talking to Assyria. These are former enemies of Israel, but now he's asking for their help. And so Ahaz is looking for natural political solutions. Okay, this is a nation that belongs to God, but he's looking for political solutions to his problems. He doesn't expect help from the Lord. And I was reminded as I was reading this of Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way to death. He's looking for natural solutions. He doesn't think the Lord's going to help him at all. Now, what's interesting is Ahaz's father and his grandfather were both good kings. But Ahaz was a bad egg. There's how 2 Kings 16 describes him. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, his God, like his ancestor David, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He even sacrificed his son in the fire, imitating the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had dispossessed before the Israelites. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Now, like we were talking about last week, God has not given up on Judah, despite her king. So God sends Isaiah with this message. And he's very clear about what to do and where to go. The place where they met is at the end of an aqueduct near the upper pool, the launderer's field there in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem's a walled city, right? And so if they're surrounded, if they're besieged, the inhabitants would need water. So what we see here is that Ahaz is making last-minute inspections of his defenses to make sure his defenses are intact. So when the enemies surround them, they would still have water. He's expecting the worst. And so God tells Isaiah to go meet Ahaz here, away from the palace, away from his handlers, so he would find him on his own. And perhaps he would listen to him. And God tells Isaiah to take his son, Shear-Jashub. It's got to be a hard thing to be the son of a prophet, because you always get some dumb name that means something. Well, this name actually means a remnant will return. A remnant will return. Now, it's a double-edged sword. It also means only a remnant will return. It all depends on how you look at it. Is the glass half full or the glass half empty? God will always have a remnant. God will always have a core group of true believers. And if you happen to be one of those true believers, the name Shear-Jashub is good news. It's hopeful. A remnant will return. But if you happen to be Ahaz, then you don't want to meet Shear-Jashub. It means judgment is coming. And I think Ahaz knows this, so he's out inspecting his defenses. And Isaiah comes to him with this message, and the bulk of the message, the core of the message here is found in verse 4, when he says, "Calm down and be quiet, Don't be afraid or cowardly because of these two smoldering sticks. He said, they're not even torches. They're just sticks that have burned out. They're nothing to me. You have no reason to fear these nations because I am with you. The bark of Samaria and Damascus is worse than their bite. God will deliver Judah from these invaders. Ahaz must have faith that God will take care of Judah. Don't make any hasty treaties, any foolish treaties that Judah is going to end up regretting later on. Don't look to Egypt. Don't look to Assyria. Don't look to horses and chariots and might and power. Look to God. Let God handle this. Calm down. Don't panic. And he repeats the gist of this here in verse 9. He says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. Now, that's not a message to Judah. That's a message to Ahaz. But how is Ahaz going to believe this promise that Isaiah brings when he himself is, a skeptic? He himself is an unbeliever. So God says in verse 10, ask for a sign. It can be anything. It can be as high as the heavens. It can be low as the depths of the earth. Ask for a sign. Ask for any miraculous event. A comet overhead. A rainbow. The sun standing still. Ask for a sign. Because the Lord knows that Ahaz is spineless. And he's freaking out. And he knows that he's wavering. And he knows that he's looking to other nations to find help. And so God says, I'll prove it to you. Just ask for a sign. Here's a blank check. Whatever sign you want, I'll show you I'm on your side. But Ahaz refuses. Look at verse 12. Ahaz replied, I will not ask. I will not test the Lord. Based off of Deuteronomy 6:16, do not test the Lord your God. What a pious, self-righteous faker. What a jerk. Oh, now all of a sudden he cares what God thinks. Where was that when he was sacrificing his son to Molech, the god of death? Ahaz is nothing but a fraud. He does not mean business with God. And don't you hate when politicians play up their religious beliefs when it suits their purposes? All of a sudden they're all holy. Well, that's exactly what Ahaz is doing here, and God's not pleased. So in his anger, God says to him, fine, don't ask for a sign. Don't ask for a sign. I said I would deliver Judah. I will deliver Judah, and I will prove it. I myself will give a sign. Not for you, but for my people. For my remnant. And the sign is Emmanuel, a child. I think the significance of this child is that God is promising the Messiah. Mashiach is the Hebrew word, and it simply means anointed. The Greek equivalent is Christos, Christ. It means anointed. It means comes from the verb to anoint with oil or to set apart, to consecrate. And the idea is that God would send someone set apart by God, anointed by God, with all the power to lead the nation back to greatness. And it would be someone of the royal line of David and someone who would answer the problems that Judah was having. But like Shear Jashub's name, it's a double-edged sword again. The good news is Messiah is coming. The bad news for Ahaz, you ain't it. God will replace Ahaz with a new king that would carry out his promises. And so it's significant that God does this in terms of a birth, because this is the way that God has chosen to dramatically intervene in human history. When Israel was in Egyptian slavery, he sent a baby named Moses. When the nation of Israel wanted a king, he sent a baby named Samuel. When we were lost in our sin, he sent a baby named Jesus. God's done it before. Now he's promising he's going to do it again. But even before that, in the Garden of Eden, When we fell, when mankind fell in our sin, God's solution for sin was generations in coming. God said to Satan that day, I will put hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. I will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Generations would come and go before the solution for sin was finally found in the person of Jesus. You know, I think in previous generations, the birth of children was a hopeful thing. It was optimistic. It was forward-looking. But you look at where we are now as a nation. Our hopelessness, our hopeless view of the future is seen in our birth rate. It's 1.64. It's not even replace rate. That means our nation is going to die. We see it in the demonic lie of abortion. But God promised from that first sin that salvation would come through Eve's children. That her offspring, the church, would do battle with the devil, and one of her offspring, one of her descendants, would crush his head. He would strike the boy's heel, but that young man would crush Satan's head somewhere down the line. And thousands of years later, after God spoke that prophetic word in the Garden of Eden, Isaiah picks up that prophetic refrain. And he delivered that message here at the pool in Jerusalem. What's interesting is that word for pool is barakah, which also is the word for blessing. And I guess if you live in the desert, when you find a pool, you find a blessing. And so God had that message delivered at this aqueduct, and he's pointing out to us, he's showing us that like this water pipe, the line of David, way down at the other end, one day, God would send a blessing, the one who would bring living water, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus. And ultimately, that refrain was picked up again by the angels in Bethlehem. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born to you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped tightly in cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors. The child was called Emmanuel, God with us. He was named Jesus. Yeshua means Savior, because he would save us from our sins. But he saves us from our sins because he is first God with us. He left heaven to be with us. He's on our side. He's in our corner. He's in charge of keeping us. And he's a Savior born of a virgin. So if you haven't put your faith in him, if you haven't put your trust in him, let me remind you of this warning that was spoken to Ahaz that is just as true to us today. If you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. The hymn that I named this sermon series after, O Come Emmanuel. One of the verses says, O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Judah was in a very dark and dangerous place. Nations conspiring against her. They were about to be invaded. Their king had no regard for God. The whole nation gave lip service to God, but really there's only one small constituency of true believers, a remnant. And I don't think we would begrudge God if God just said, you know what? Is this what you want? This is what you get. But God had other plans. And he promised deliverance from that immediate threat, but also he gave a sign for the future. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about where you are, and you may be in a dark and dangerous place in your life. You know, Christmas is such a joyful time, but it's also a difficult time for many of us. We experience loss. It's lonely. Financial pressures, family issues. And I think the Lord would say to you, if that's where you are right now, the Lord would say to you, be careful, be calm, don't be afraid, don't lose heart, stand firm in your faith. I am with you. I am Emmanuel. Don't look for natural solutions. Don't rely on your own strength. Don't rely on your own wits or your own abilities or your own holiness. Don't look for another person to bail you out. Turn to God, and He will take care of you. Can you imagine Ahaz? God says, ask for anything. Ask for a sign. And he didn't. I think God would say to you and to me today, just ask and it will be given. And you say, well, Pastor, how do you know? How can you stand up there and be so confident in saying this? How do you know God wants to work in my marriage? How do you know God wants to work in my health? How do you know he cares about my finances? How do you know that he's concerned with those sin issues in my life? I know because he's given us a sign. He's given us proof. 700 years ago, after Isaiah's promise, he gave that same sign to the shepherds. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. And so you and I can shout with joy with the angels, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to the people he favors. Whether or not it's warranted, God's favor rests on us. He's given us a Savior. He's given us himself, Emmanuel, the God who is with us. And he is a firm foundation to stand on when our own faith is weak. Would you stand and pray with me? How many of you might say today that your faith is not nearly as strong as you would like it to be? Well, then, Lord, we pick up this promise today. You made it to Ahaz many years ago, to the people of Judah many years ago, but it's also a promise to us that you would send your son Jesus. He would save us from our sins, and he would be God with us. And so, Lord, today we thank you that you are God with us, even in the dark and dangerous places, even in the challenging times, especially in those times when we're looking around, trying to find out where to go, what to do, how to get out of this. And you tell us, calm down, be quiet. Don't be afraid. Don't be cowardly. Stand firm in your faith. For this will be a sign to you that a virgin will conceive and have a son and name him Emmanuel. You are God with us. And so we don't take that for granted today. And so, Lord, I'm asking for my brothers and sisters here in this room going through difficult times, Lord, that you would show yourself to us. That this sign that we're reading about in the scriptures today would be impressed on our hearts. That we would know that we would know that we know that you are with us and you care about us. And that you're never going to leave us or forsake us. So work in us this week, Lord. Show us, let us live confidently and stand in the faith that you've given us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks so much for being here. We got a ministry team up front. If we can pray for you, you're going through anything, let us have a minute and just join our faith with yours and take those things to the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. God bless you. Have a great week.